We're in the book of Matthew chapter 13 is where he left off, if I remember correctly. No, chapter 14, so I didn't remember correctly. I want to go back to verse 22. This is when Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter walks on the water as well. Matthew chapter 14, 22. Jesus immediately made his disciples get in the boat, go before him, the other side, and he sent his disciples away. I don't know how many times, maybe I should go back and count them, that Jesus wants to be by himself. And it's not just to get away from the crowd, it's to talk to the Father. And let me make this point, and it's been made before, but it's a strong point. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed to pray, I know Sam Long needs to pray. Amen? I mean, if he had to pray and needed to pray, didn't have to, but he needed to pray, surely you and I need to be in prayer. And that's why it says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So he goes, sends the disciples away. We're in the Sea of Galilee. I've been on that sea. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. And he sent the multitude away, verse 23. This is Matthew 14. And he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And at evening he had come in. He was alone there. There's nothing wrong with being alone and praying. In fact, that's a good time to pray. We were at Slim Chicken. It's not, by the way, it puts on pound. But anyway, Slim Chicken. And there was a man with his son there, and they had a prayer before they ate. And I said, I appreciate you doing that. He said, we always do that. Praying before you eat, I think it's a good policy. It's a right policy. But you need, and I need to be in prayer more than just when I eat or say my night prayers. We need to be constantly in prayer. I don't even go to my shop without praying. I don't cut some wood without praying. Not every piece, but a lot of them. We need to be in prayer. And it's an avenue offered to us that we can call upon God through Jesus, and he hears us. Not only are we able to express what we're feeling, but he understands that and answers us accordingly. Let me encourage you to pray. We announce these need to be prayed for, and okay. And then sometime we have to see somebody, have you prayed for me? Yes, I have. No, we need to be in prayer, and I would encourage you to do that. But the boat now that the disciples are in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves of the wind contrary. I've been on that sea. I've been on that Sea of Galilee during a storm. I didn't walk on water, by the way, but it was frightening. The mountains all around the Sea of Galilee, and there is a void. And the wind comes through that void, kind of a valley. And it whips up a storm in no time. Got out there, beautiful skies, blue skies and all that. And the storm came up, and the boat we were in, holding about 50 or 60 people, it was rocked back and forth. And guess what I thought about? About the disciples on that sea. Now, Jesus had sent them on that sea. You get in the boat, you go on the other side. We're on the east side, you're on the west side, and I'll meet you over there. But just because we're doing Jesus' will does not mean there's not going to be some storms and some wind and some rain and some trouble. Disciples, well, now it's about the fourth watch. There are actually four Roman watches. There's 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So this is 3 in the afternoon. 3 at night, in the morning. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Wouldn't that be neat to do? Walk on the sea? And I remember the wind's blowing and the waves are tossing and all that's going on. And here's Jesus walking the sea. And disciples saw him walking the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It's a what, class? What is it?" Thank you. They believed in ghosts. In fact, after Jesus' resurrection, if you remember, when Mary went back to tell them that Jesus had risen, what'd they say? Must be a ghost. Can't explain it. Haven't seen it. But must be something. It couldn't be Jesus. Couldn't be a man walking on the sea. And they cried out for fear. Fear of what? Well, fear of the sea. Fear of the ghost. Is he coming to get us? And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Do not," what, class? "Be afraid." How many of you have been on a boat out in a river like this and tossed to and fro? Anybody here? I have. My daddy loved to fish. I hated to fish. I like to eat fish. He thought I meant I like to catch fish. I don't care about catching fish. I like eating fish. But anyway, I'd come in from Freed Harmon and he'd say, "Let's go fishing." I said, "Okay, Daddy." So we'd go fishing. We went down to New Johnsonville. He had an aluminum boat. We launched out, and my job was to set the anchor in front. We'd hit some fish, and they were catching, you know, when you hit them, you hit them. And we were catching them, and I didn't know what setting the anchor meant, but I threw it out. And all of a sudden, we were in the middle of the channel. And if you know anything about the Tennessee River and New Johnsonville and that, there are a lot of barges go up and down the river, and a barge was headed near our way. And I said, "Daddy, there's a barge coming." And he said, don't worry. I got my Evinrude." So he started pulling on the Evinrude to start it. And I guess when you're nervous or want to do something quickly, you maybe pull harder than you should. About the third pull, the rope came off. Well, it's covered. You had to get the cover off. So he said, "Bring me a screwdriver." I said, "There's no screwdrivers here." He said, "Get a paddle." And we had one paddle. And the barge by this time is blowing that big horn. "Boo. Now get out of the way. I'm coming through. I can't stop. You better move." And sure enough, we kept closer and closer. He said, "Take your shirt off. Let's make a sail." So we tried to sail our way out of the way. And we survived. That's the end of the story. But we survived. But I remember thinking how scared I was, because it was pretty close. And when the barge came by, folks, it was like from here to Ferris over there. And of course, the waves tossed us back and forth and everything. And I thought about this story. But I've also been on the Sea of Galilee, and I've been in that wave and know what it's like. It is scary. You have no control on it. And so here they are, and Jesus says to them, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer? We're about to die. How can we be of good cheer? And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you," that's interesting, "if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter was always ready to jump out in front, wasn't he? Bless his heart. He said some things he shouldn't have said, but here's a time, you know, I can't wait for you to get here. I'll be out there with you in the middle of the sea, or I can stay in the boat. I'll come to you. There's a song, Safe, how's it go? Safe in the, what did you say, class? Safe in the what? Arms of Jesus. So maybe that's what Peter's thinking. If I get where you are, then I'll be okay. I don't know what he's thinking. But he crawls out of the boat. And does what? Walks on the water, Bill. Walks on the water. Peter walked on the water. Wow. And he walked towards Jesus. You know how close he was? The Bible, you know, began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus, saw the waves, felt the wind, was frightened, and began to sink. Whenever you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink. I don't care how long you've had your eyes fixed on Jesus. When you take them off, you begin to sink. And he said, Jesus, do what, class? Save me. Now look what he says. And Jesus reached out his arm and caught Peter. How close was he? Arm's length. He was almost there. I don't know how close he was when he got out of the boat. I don't know how far he walked in the water. I just know he was at an arm's length from Jesus. So close, just reach out, and he got him. Wouldn't that be a shame to be so close and yet sink? Peter, just a few more. How many more? That's less than three steps, even baby steps. Just go on. But you see, there's a wind and there are waves. And I don't know how tall the waves were. I don't know how strong the wind was. He knew that when he got out of the boat. But he was so close. Look at verse 30. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Could Peter swim? Yeah. Didn't he do that when he met Jesus, you know, when the fish filled the boat and all that and he swam in? Yeah, yeah. He's a fisherman. You better be able to swim. So what was he afraid of? Can't you bob? Can't you tread water? And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Well, folks, if it had been me, I'd have been in that same situation. Why do you doubt, Sam? I'm right here. They got in the boat. What happened to the wind? Just calmed. Was that wind there for a purpose? Were the waves there for a purpose? Did Peter need this lesson? You know, it's Peter that says, I won't deny you, everybody else will deny you, and, you know, I'll die first. And I think Peter meant that when he said it. But what do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when the swords are drawn and ready to capture you? I think Peter needed probably a shaking down, knocking down just a little bit. Then those that were in the boat came and worshiped him, Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. There can be no doubt. Who can calm the sea? Who can calm the storm in your life? Jesus. When they crossed over, they came to the land, and when the men of the place recognized him, they sent him out. All the surrounding regions brought to him all that were sick. Excuse me. He blessed them that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfect as well. Just let me touch the hem of his garment. Wasn't there a lady in the... There's a whole story about a lady with an issue of blood. And all she wanted to do is what? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And here are all these people around Jesus, and she somehow got through the crowd and touched him. And he said, who touched me? What do you mean? Look at all these people. We don't know who touched. A lot of people touched you. But he knew there was a special touch, a touch of faith because the woman was made well. The scribes and Pharisees who were in Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the fathers, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" I wish my mama had read this story. "Have you washed your hands?" "Yes, ma'am." "Well, what's all that in the..." "Okay, I'll go back and do it again." And then she would check the towel and see if there was dirt on the towel. She knew if I had washed them or not. You had to wash your hands. You had to wash your hands. Today at a Jewish funeral, we go out with a water and a basin, and people have to leave the gravesite, come, and they wash their hands to be clean and purified again. They had a lot into washing of hands. It was a tradition, and tradition is tradition. I'm glad we in the church have no tradition, do we? Three songs and a prayer. He sang two songs and a prayer. And I've told you about the Lord's Supper table being covered with that beautiful linen cloth. And we took that even after we got air conditioning and no bugs in the building, that kind of thing. We still used the linen cloth for a long time until somebody hit it. But we have tradition. And there's nothing wrong with the tradition, folks. Nothing at all. Unless that becomes law. And when it becomes law, then you've broken the law by tradition. Sunday night's a tradition. I like Sunday night meetings. I like our Sunday nights together. But do you have to have a Sunday night service? In fact, didn't they meet all day long? It is the Lord's Day, and I'm glad we have group meetings and all that, but I like Sunday night. It is our tradition. I'd already been around. It had been around a long time, but Bible class, did you know that's a tradition now? We picked up from denominational folks, have Bible class. Early church didn't have Bible class and then worship service, you know, it... They met and they taught and they preached and they teach, taught, and maybe all night long. But our tradition is a little bit different. As long as it doesn't become a law, tradition's fine. I remember when we went from psalm books to the screens. Screens? Where did you get that from? Where in the Bible it says have screens, video screens? It's the same verse that had sheets. Sermon. Y'all remember the sheet sermons? It's just a screen. That's all it was. Or maybe we even go back. Flannel graph. You remember the flannel graph? That's even further back. It's just an aid. That's all. It's not law. You don't have to. You don't have to have a song book. You don't have to have a video screen. You just sing by the memory. And I do that often. And my wife tells me I don't do the words right, but I still like doing it. I don't think I've ever sung a whole song completely right. But tradition. So they had their traditions just like we have ours. But here's what he said, verse 3, chapter 15. Why do you transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Wonder how many kids would be put to death if we obeyed this today. Wow. You can learn a lot in Walmart, folks. A lot of parenting skills not to have. But you say, whoever says his father and mother, what is profitable for you might be received from me, has been dedicated to the temple. I can't give you anything. I can't take care of you. I can't buy you food. I've given all my money to the temple. And we can't take the temple money and give it to you. That was what they were saying. It's released from honoring his father or mother. Thus you have made his commandments of God of no effect by your traditions. Jesus says you're hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but they're what? What's he after? They're what? Their heart, where is it? It's far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to be in the worship. Yes, spirit and truth. We got the truth, but where is the spirit? Our hearts need to be there. And he called his multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. It's not what you eat. It's not a barbecue sandwich. That's okay. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's what defiles you. Disciples said to him, do you know the Pharisees were offended when you said these things? I guess so. And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. Let the blind lead the blind. And the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. Just leave them alone. Let them say what they want to say. Again, I've asked if you've seen Chosen on TV. It's a TV show. But it's a good TV show. It's worth your time. And some of these stories about Jesus are taken out. And when they talk Bible, it's Bible. Now, what's around it and how they got there and where they were and all that, that's the storyline. But it's Bible. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain to this parable to us. Did Jesus speak in his parables? In fact, almost every lesson he taught was a parable, wasn't it? I was told one time, and I was preaching full time, Sam, you got too many stories. And I said, you mean kind of like parables? Yeah. Thank you. I didn't mean that as a compliment, but I took it that way. How did Jesus preach? How did he teach? Class, how did he teach? Parables. What's a parable? It's a spiritual truth, sometimes hard to understand, taught by physical truth that's easy understood. It's a parable. It's a story. The sower went forth to sow seed. A parable. My kitty cat got up in my face this morning, and I was doing fine, but I got kitty cat, I guess, on me. A parable is just a spiritual truth being taught by physical truth. So explain to us why you're preaching here. Verse 16. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, eliminated. But that which proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. And they defile a man. I've never heard language from congressmen and senators, what have you, as I've heard recently. Foul stuff. You can just like somebody without cussing, can't you? My, what on earth? Is that your heart? Is that where it's coming from? Well, that's what Jesus said. Out of the heart these things come. The things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart, and they defile men. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the heart are murderers. Out of the heart are adulteries and fornicators. What do you say about adultery and fornication? If you look and lust, you've already what? Committed adultery in your heart. I didn't do the act. No, but the thinking can also be damnable. Out of the heart come thieves. Out of the heart come false witnesses. Out of the heart comes blasphemies, speaking evil against others and about the Lord. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with one unwashed hands does not defile a man. And I quoted that to my mama, and she said, I don't care, go wash your hands. But that's true. Let me ceremoniously be clean. Well, that may clean your hands. That may be good. And hygiene, it does not clear the heart. Jesus is interested in your heart today. When we worship God, we've got to worship with all of our heart. Not just do the mechanics right. We don't have an instrument here. We sing from the... He said, make melody in your heart. We do that. Make melody from your heart. It's the heart. The worship has to come from the heart. Art has led us in... There's a stirring recently, especially a couple of funerals. I can't get through it. I love the song. I just can't get through it. It gives me chill bumps to think about right now, the words. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the song? Wow. There's a stirring. May there be a stirring in my heart for the Lord. May I worship Him in my heart to the Lord. Jesus went out of from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from him, and the region cried out to him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demonized, or possessed with demons. He answered not a word. The disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out unto us. And he answered and said, I was not sent except to those lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he sent his disciples out two by two, who do you send them to? Lost sheep, house of Israel. That's who I've come to. The Jews were to hear the gospel first. They were to understand the gospel first. And it wasn't for everybody at that time. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. The answer said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's hateful. That's hurtful. I start to say hateful. Hurtful, isn't it? We don't give the bread to dogs. But look what she said. That's true, Lord. Yet even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for the piece of bread. I'm asking for the crumb off the bread. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. I love it when he does this, when he heals people. He heals a multitude, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but... He heals by long distance. Remember the centurion that came to him about a servant? Would you heal my servant? Okay. And he said, okay, I will. And let's go. He said, you don't have to go. I'm a commander. I say to the soldier, come, and he comes. I say, go, and he goes. You just say the word. And Jesus says, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Just say the word, Jesus. And to her, he says, it's like you desire. Your daughter's healed. Go back home to her. And when he went back home, you know what she found? A healed daughter. I will mention this, though. It's interesting to me that when people are healed, come to me in a minute. They were standing around with all the things she had made. Who am I talking about? Who? That's what I was going to say. Dorcas. I couldn't think of. Thank you. Dorcas. And you know what she did when she got healed or when she got raised from the dead? What'd she do? Got up and served him. Got up and served him and say, I'm back. Okay. All right. Bring me a glass of tea. No, let me get something for you. Women of the old folks were just servants. And we've got so many ladies here that follow that same pattern. Not that you're old. No. I'm talking about serving. They just want to serve. Just, what can I do for you? Go back home and you'll find him healed. Verse 29, Jesus departed from the skirts of the Sea of Galilee and went out to the mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others that laid down at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them. Wouldn't that be enough for you? Wouldn't one healing service of a man that you knew that was lame, now walking, somebody never spoke in their life, was mute, and now speaking, wouldn't that be enough? Evidently it wasn't. So the multitude marveled, and they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. I think I would have as well. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. We called her Mama Winky because we didn't say Winston. But Mama Winky would not let you leave her house. I don't care if you were working on her water or electrician or whatever without eating something. That's just the way she was. You had to eat something. I loved going there because I would eat something every time. Jesus says, you've been here 3 days. So I'm assuming unless they brought snacks, they hadn't eaten in 3 days. And he had compassion upon them because they stayed there 3 days to hear him preach and teach and heal. I think I would have stayed too. I don't think I'd be too worried about eating. But Jesus was concerned about them, and he asked his disciples, where is there enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? The disciples then said to him, where is a 7-Eleven around here? I mean, we're in the wilderness. There's nothing here. There's no way we can feed all these people. I just can't do it. So we want to find out what they had. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. Did Jesus care how many loaves they had? No or no? He didn't care. Why did he ask them then? He wanted them to see that this is going to be a good miracle. 7 loaves and a few little fishes. That might feed a few, wouldn't feed many. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Now, other places where he'd have them sit down in groups of like 50, so they'd be taken care of. He was organized. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and what did he do? What did he do, class? What did he do? Gave thanks. Who's he talking to? God the Father. What's he thinking? For the loaves and fishes? One more fish story with my dad. I don't know why I'm thinking about him today. Got up maybe 4 o'clock in the morning to go fishing. I didn't want to. Anyway. We were out there. It was about 11:30, and I was really didn't eat breakfast. We were out there on the boat 11:30, and I said, Daddy, I am hungry. He said, I am too. I said, well, where are we going to go? He said, let me look in the tackle box and see what we got. There were some little crackers in a package that had been wet a couple of times, kind of soggy, and there were some little fish. Sardines. Have you ever opened a can of sardines? If you have, everybody knew it. I mean, he said, there's some sardines and a cracker. And he opened that can and they began to, limbs on the trees around us began to wilt a little bit. I don't know how long that sardine can had been in that tackle box, but it had been a while. And he opened that and put one of those little fish, sardine fish, on a cracker. He says, "Here, eat that." He had me to eat first, I guess, to see if, you know, if it hurt me, he would eat them. You know, it tasted pretty good. When you're hungry, it tastes pretty good out there. And so we ate that whole can, and then he took, well, I won't get into the juice, but anyway, that's another story. A few little fishes and seven loaves of bread. He's going to feed the multitude. He gave thanks, and my daddy gave thanks before he ate the sardines. He gave to them, the disciples, and the disciples gave the multitude. So they all ate and were, what's the word? Not, I wish I had one more bite. Have you ever eaten to be filled? Just can't eat anymore? And they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left out. Start with seven loaves, and now it's seven baskets full left over. When Jesus does a miracle, folks, it's not just a miracle. Wouldn't you love to have had some of that bread and some of those fish? I know it wasn't catfish. They couldn't eat catfish. But wouldn't that have been nice? Y'all, how many like fish? They like to eat fish. Someone, wife, don't raise your hand. Jeanette doesn't care for fish, but catfish house. That coleslaw and hush puppies. I'm getting hungry thinking about that. Can you imagine eating fish that Jesus gave? Sister Williams cooks the best cornbread, I think. She does those hoe cakes, you know, fries it. And she wanted senior servants Thursday night, and I really missed her. Well, I missed her cornbread too, but I really missed her. They're so good. Can you imagine eating bread that Jesus produced? Must have been something else. Seven baskets full, large baskets, by the way, and they did take up the fragments. They didn't leave them. It's interesting how they would take up the fragments. I wonder what they did with them. Everybody got a doggy bag to take home, I guess. I don't know what happened. Now, those who ate were 4,000 what? Men. Are there usually more women and children than there are men? Yes or yes? Yeah. So we may be talking about 8,000 to 10,000 people being fed. Can you imagine? Like Vacation Bible School last year, year before last. People kept coming in and coming in and coming in, and hot dogs were cooking, but wow. 10,000, how do you feed 10,000 people? Oh my. Yeah. And he sent his disciples, sent away the multitude, got in the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Well, I heard the bell. I just would love to have eaten some of Jesus' food. You remember after his resurrection, and after he'd seen his disciples, and he was about close to ascending back to heaven. Remember that one day they all, Peter said, "I'm going to go back fishing." Remember that? And they said, "Okay, we'll go back fishing too," because they were fishermen. And Jesus on the bank, what was he doing? Cooking fish, cooking breakfast for them. Wouldn't you have loved to have had some of that fish that Jesus cooked? I don't believe there's a burnt place on it. Wouldn't you love to have the furniture he made? Wouldn't you love to just sit at his feet and hear his words? These people sat for 3 days listening to him. Because when Jesus teaches folks, people listen. Well, let's close with a prayer. Thank you for being so kind today. We'll continue back with chapter 16 when Chris gets back. Father, we pray we've handled your word properly today. Pray that we've learned truths we might apply. We might be much in prayer. We might be thankful for what we have. we might look to you for what we need. Bless us, Father, this day in our worship coming. In Jesus' name, and amen.